Well, it's great to be together. I think we're in for a treat this evening. Here with my dear friend, Allison. And we can clap for that. That's super fun. Allison and I have known each other for a while. We're continuing our series in the fruit of the Spirit. We started it last week with just an introduction, and I won't rehash all of that. But tonight, we're beginning to go through each of the aspects, kind of the faces of the fruit of the Spirit. It is singular fruits, and then really just lists 9 characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. I think sometimes we can grow up in church world and just go, oh, it's the fruit of the Spirit. But we think of it as just like this well-known Bible passage. But here's what we're really after this summer as we journey through this series. That when we are children of God, when we believe in Jesus, we're filled with the Spirit of God. And when that takes place, what should naturally, or you could even say supernaturally flow out of us, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. It's really hard for me to stay seated when I got a microphone. And that's what we're after this summer, is really step-by-step talking about, hey, when someone meets you, would you be accused of being loving? Would you be accused of being joyful? Would you be accused of being peaceful? That again, as we shared last week, if all of these things suddenly became illegal, would you get arrested? Is that the case with us? Well, tonight we're jumping into love. Before we do, I just want to, it's 2021 and, not every church is opening the scriptures with a male and female. And so I do want to just address that for a moment. I come from a tradition that predominantly just had men that would just be on stage. We have really sought God on this and searched and studied the scriptures on this for quite some time in this church. And it's our conviction that if the church is the family of God, a healthy family has both moms and dads who are using their voice and the gifts that God has given them to equip that family for how God's made that family to work. And it's been my experience personally that in the family of God, at least in the families of God that I've grown up in, mom's voice was kind of quiet, at times a little shushed. So at the well, we would say, hey, we believe that God has made men and women equally in his image, equally worthy, equally honored, equally gifted. And yet in the family, there are distinct roles in that in the same way that a dad is a dad and a mom is a mom, we're very convicted that that's what Scripture teaches, that there are roles in the church even where there is a distinction, and we would hold that distinction at elders in the church, that God has made elders as kind of this dad role in the church. And yet when it comes to using our gifts in the body, studying 1 Corinthians 11 and 1 Timothy 3 and a variety of passages to really sort through this, that, hey, there is room, actually lots of room, for women to teach and even preach the scriptures of God as a function of gifting. So if you're interested in that, or if you're like, whoa, what on earth is happening? Or if you're like, yeah, go women. We'd just love to have that chat in a humble heart-to-heart. Hey, let's open the scriptures together. We don't claim to have some type of theological stake of like, we've got everything figured out. We have all the answers. No. We're humbly coming before God, seeking to do what we're convinced is right before him and is in line with his word. And that's where we've landed as a church. We'd be honored and humbled to have that conversation with you if you'd like. But all that to say, Allison is a dear sister that is clearly filled with the Spirit that God has given gifts to. And one of those gifts is to teach the truth of God. And we want to celebrate that this evening by doing this together. It also just works out well that tonight we're talking about love. And I'm convinced that Allison is someone who loves well. That some of y'all in here could personally testify, hey, I've been loved well by this woman. There's a whole bunch of people not in this room who could say, I've been loved well by this woman. So, Allison, just to say it, I'm super proud of you, super honored to be your brother in Christ, and thrilled to be opening the scriptures with you tonight. Okay, so Tonight we're talking about love. If you're anything like me, you got a song in your head as soon as we say, what is love? And you might say, okay, some of y'all are like, baby, don't hurt me, okay? Well, all of us have an idea of love in our heads. We define love in a certain way, in a specific way in our own lives that we would say, I love this, or I love you, or I love that. And so, Allison, when we talk about love, what are some ways that when we look at the culture, you see culture trying to put some labels on what love is?
Yeah, I think I see love in a few different ways. And so one of the first ones that comes to mind is self-love. And not the kind that's like, oh, let me eat healthy and take care of my body. But like, wow, it was a really hard day. Let me go shop for like hours and hours and spend all the money I do not have. Or just going into toxic relationships just because you want someone there. But actually, it's not good for you at all. Or, you know, eating things that you shouldn't be eating or just whatever. And so just this sense of self-love, but more in a toxic way and not in a healthy way. I think another one that I see is overusing the word love. And this is a new one for me. I had to learn this from a dear friend, that not everybody sees the word love, like I love you, as a term of endearment, or it doesn't mean as much to them because we use it way too much. Like, I'm telling this friend I love you so much, and I love plants, and I just killed all my plants. Doesn't sound like a good kind of love. And so, I think when we toss the word around, it can kind of get jaded of, like, there's no value to that word at all anymore. And then one of the last ones I can think of is tolerance, of just allowing our friends to just stay in a really messy and hurtful situation or just walk in things that they shouldn't be in just because we don't want to get messy with them or we don't want to get in that fight with them. And so we say, hey, you do you. I'm not going to worry about it. And I'll be over here. And hey, I love you. And so just those things of just self-love, overusing the word love, and just kind of like a tolerance. So
when we talk about love, we recognize that all of us walk in here with different perspectives of what love is, how we might define that, how we might have even experienced that. But at The Well, we really do believe that God's word is God's word. And so if we want to know how to follow Jesus, if we want to know how to really step into God's good design of how he made our lives to live, then we're going to find that in his word. And so if you have your Bibles, and we hope you do, open them with us to 1 John chapter 4. And we're going to look at how the scriptures define love. What does the Bible say love is? And so if you're here tonight, and you're like, man, you know, I love is probably an area I could grow in, but what really is it? Would you listen closely tonight to how the Bible defines love? We're going to see kind of a few things. We're going to see where love comes from. We're going to see what love is. We're going to see what love looks like. And then what does love do? Like, does love behave in a certain way? And so for each of us, I know certainly for me as a husband and as a dad and as a friend, I've got lots of room to grow in love. And so I just encourage each of us, hey, we're not talking about what the culture says about love as though that's going to help us define this. We're going to talk about some traps along the way of maybe some pitfalls in trying to love well. But if I'm going to love like God loves, what does that look like? And so as Allison reads this for us, already begin listening. Hey, what does the Bible say about love? So Allison, would you read 1 John 4, starting in verse 7?
Yes, and as Chris would say, if you got it, say got it.
Come on.
Cool. Okay, dear friends, let us continue to love one another, for love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God showed how much he loved us by sending his one and only Son into the world so that we may have eternal life through him. This is real love. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to take away our sins. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us.
Yeah, thanks so much. We see a variety of things throughout this text, but clearly what we're talking about tonight is loving one another. What does that look like? Where does that come from? And so, Allison, as you have studied this text, as you and I have talked through this text, what are some of the characteristics of love that you see coming from the text that we could just start with tonight?
Yeah, I think starting in verse 7, it says, love comes from God. And honestly, when I read that, I think I just take the biggest breath of relief known to man. Because, one, God is perfect, and he is so kind and so loving and so abundant, and his love never runs out. And I think, you know, when we know that he is the source of love, we can kind of just relax in that. I think one of the traps that we can think of are that we're the source of love, or that people are the source of love. And when I think of that, I think of, man, when love comes from me, I get so burnt out. I get exhausted. I'm like, oh my goodness, I don't know how I'm going to love you today because I don't feel loved. But when it's coming from the source, when it's coming from God, it is overflowing and it is so good. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember came from a church in Huntsville before this, and our pastor's name was Richard, and he said this one time. I was in a season of ministry where I was burnt out. I was done. I was angry. I was hurt. And kind of like that. I was like, I've got nothing left. And he looked at me and he said, Chris, you know, I think somewhere along the way I realized that our calling is really just to be a PVC pipe. And I was like, what are you talking about, you crazy old man? And he's not really that old. But so he said, Chris, just think about it. If all the love comes from God and our job is to love people, then all we are is just a carrier for the love of God. Chris, when we get where you're at, we've confused the picture. And we think we are the source of love, that we're the people who are going to change people's lives, that we're the ones who are going to rescue things that we can't rescue, that's on us. And Chris, that's a wrong picture of what you and I have been called to do as pastors. We are simply a PVC pipe attached to the source of God, allowing his love to freely flow through us. And man, yeah, you're right, Allison. Sometimes we get trapped and we think, I'm the source. And then when we think we're the source, then it's only our attempts at love coming out. And that's, I don't know, maybe you got more love packed inside of you than I do, but that runs out for me pretty quick. So the first characteristic of love is that we see that it is sourced from God, that love comes from God. As we move into verse 8, what are some other things we see, Allison?
Yeah, I think this actually might be my favorite, but it says God is love. Man, thank you, Jesus, for that. So if this makes any sense, God is love. Love is not God. And so when I think about our relationships here on earth and we think about, you know, how a father should be to their kid or how a sister should be or a friend, those are a relationship between broken people. And so when we're constantly thinking about that's what love is and we equate it with God, we already are selling that love short. You know, I think about dads that are not present, or I think about, you know, moms that are not present. Well, then how do you think you view God? Absent. You know, like you think about someone that should be here to love me and to nurture me and to hold me and to discipline me, and they're not there, you're probably going to think the same thing about God. So you're going to equate this standard of love with God. And that's not how it is. It's really God is love. And because God is love, we can then love. So when we use it as a standard of broken people, like we just said, that's not the source. That's not love. And so thankfully, God is love.
Yeah, and we see that really played out in the text in verse 8, where it says, anyone who does not love does not know God. Mm-hmm. Why? Because here's the issue. When we're trying to define love, here's the problem. We're either going to start with God or we're going to start with us. Mm-hmm. And what does John say here in 1 John 4:8? He says, hey, if you don't love, it's because you don't know God. But if you know God, then you know what real love is. Why? Because not only is that where real love comes from, but that is actually love. That's who God is. So I want to pause here for a second because I do think this is a cultural trap that is pervasive today. So when I think about love in 2021 in Western culture, I hear a lot of love means I'm free. That I have full freedom, as long as it doesn't hurt somebody else, then love is God. Yeah. That we worship love. That because I love you, We can do whatever we want. There's no boundaries on that. But here's the problem with that, is we've made the world or ourselves the starting place for our definition of what love is instead of God. But when we look at God as the starting point, God always has boundaries. He always has a good design in which he operates. And so while we can read in Galatians chapter 5 where the fruit of the Spirit is found that, hey, it is for freedom that Christ set us free, even that freedom has boundaries. So think of it as a kingdom, which Jesus would often talk about following Jesus as. When we live inside his kingdom, we experience perfect freedom. But when we step outside of his kingdom, then we've just entered another's territory and we are no longer free in that space. In his space, inside of God's boundaries, we experience perfect freedom. But again, when we step outside of those boundaries, this is not good. This is a breach of that freedom even to ourselves. And so I think our culture often says, hey, love is love is love is love is love. And so I love everyone all the time in all the ways, regardless of all the things, and there's no boundaries on my love. The problem with that is God. Is that actually doesn't work. That if you're going to say, I love you, and therefore we can do whatever we want, there's no objectivity in that. There's no solid truth in that, because everyone's going to then decide what the most loving thing is for them. This is why anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. If we're going to have a conversation about what love is, then we have to have a conversation about who God is. So here's a good test. When you're reading through the Bible and you go, oh, I don't like that God did that, that's a good indicator that you've been defining love on your terms and not God's. I'm reading through the Old Testament right now and I go, oh, I don't like that God did that. Okay, well, that's probably because I think love shouldn't discipline that much. Like, love is not, it's not hard. Where am I starting to define love? Am I starting with my own opinions, or am I starting with the sovereign God of the universe? These two things lead us really to, we see that God is the source of love and God is love. And so then what does love look like? And that leads us into verse 10. In this is love. Verse 9, in this the love of God was made manifest among us, or was made known to us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. There's a Bible word for you. If we're going to talk about what love looks like, not only do we need to start with God, but what does God then start with in this text? He starts with Jesus, that this is what love looks like. And so I feel like to understand this, we've got to understand what this word propitiation is about, or in the New Living Translation, as Allison read, what is this sacrifice for sins about? You see, here's the thing. There actually is a problem. And I think in 2021, we want to convince ourselves there's no problem. We're just love. Like, everybody just love each other, and there'll just be wonderful little glittery fairy dust, and we'll all have perfectly loving relationships. And this isn't how it works. Like, all of us in here know relationships don't work like that. That actually, in probably each of your relationships, you have felt a problem, a breaking. The Bible says that that is true of us and God, because we loved the wrong things, that God perfectly and wholeheartedly loved us and longed for us to respond to him in wholehearted love, and yet we turned away and loved the wrong things, and that set us at a distance from God, and that brought about a need for restoring that relationship, and that's why this language of we need a sacrifice for our sins, or this kind of big Bible word, propitiation, we needed a payment plan to bring us back to God. And God says here, if you want to know what love looks like, it looks like being walked away from and walking farther and faster than the one who walked away and saying, hey, I'll do everything it takes to bring you back. And so God loves us in this way, that God sent his only son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son to be the payment plan for our sins. This is the gospel, that you and I really do have a problem with God. And yet God loved us so much that he wanted to solve that problem, and he did. And so John is saying, hey, if you want to know what love really looks like, look at God and then look at the Son. Look at what the Son did to bring sinners back to himself, that he might demonstrate his love to them over and over and over. We really see two defining characteristics of this love. First, we see that this love initiates, that God's love took action. It initiated. And so I think sometimes we sit in relationships and we sit idle. We're rather passive in our relationships. God is not passive. God's love moved towards, over and over and over. It's moving towards, it's moving towards, it's moving towards. It initiates. Second, it cost him everything. And so when we talk about our love, hey, what does our love look like? I think we need to ask some questions. Does our love initiate? Is our love actively moving towards those that God has placed around us? And does our love cost us anything? So if you were to just think through a couple of faces in your head right now of people that you're close to, what does it cost you this week to be friends with them? Has it cost you anything? And if it hasn't cost you anything to be friends with those that you're friends with, can you really say that you love them? If God is love and God's love initiates and it costs him everything and the fruit of the Spirit is love, then we've got to ask some questions about what love really looks like. And can I say I love someone if it doesn't cost me anything? And so, Allison, you love well, and I believe that's because you've been loved well. If you were to just think about, hey, some moments where you've been loved well, would you just share that with us? What does that look like? Maybe there's been some folks in your life who have loved you well. Share with us what that's been like.
Yeah, I have had a ton of people who have loved me so well, most of them sitting in this room. But I actually think of Miss Janine Dooley sitting right there. I met her at probably the lowest point of my entire life. I was in depression. I had just lost the sweetest lady in my life, my mamaw. I flunked out of nursing school. Yeah, that's right. I wasn't a good college student. And I just lost so much. I lost friendships. And honestly, I was burnt out. I was using myself as a source of love and just not able to do anything. And I felt like a failure. And I got introduced to Janine, and Janine took me under her wing and loved me so hard. And that looked like giving up a lot of her time because I was very needy. It looked like hosting me for meals. It looked like running after me when I wanted to hide and just stay in my depression and not come out. And so when I think about someone that's loved me, I think about Janine, and it did. It cost her things. It cost her to reopen some of her wounds, to walk with me in my grief and not just let me sit in it by myself. She had to initiate most of it. And when I was with her, man, all I could see was the Lord. And I knew that God was clearly the source of that love. So, yeah, I definitely think of that, Janine. And I know I'm not the only one. Yeah.
Yeah, praise God for that. We pray for many more just like that. I've known you. I knew you in that season. I knew you perhaps a little bit before that season, and now I've known you quite a few years after that season. And I would just say, Allison, I've watched you change for the better. I've watched really that love kind of change you from the inside out, that you've been transformed by that. Tell us about that. What were some of the shifts that took place, or maybe even describe a little bit of how that happened? Like, what was happening inside of you as you were experiencing that kind of love?
Yeah, I think in that season I had ran so far away from God. And I think Janine honestly was slowly but surely just walking me towards him again. It wasn't even about me creating a relationship with Janine. It was about me restoring my relationship with Jesus. And I think in that season I could have so easily made Janine my idol and made her be my source of love and my sanctuary and my go-to person. But because she knows the Lord and because she loves like the Lord does, and that love overflows from her, it wasn't about Janine. It was about God. It was about how good he is and how abundant and loving he is. And so I think about, man, she just slowly but surely brought me back to Jesus just by sitting with me, just by eating with me, just by opening the word with me, with praying with me. And again, it wasn't about what she was doing. It was about how God was using her to come and fight and chase after me. So, yeah.
Yeah, we see that played out in the text then in verse 12. That says, no one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God abides in us and his love is perfected in us. This word perfected is the Greek word teleos. Teleos means to bring to its rightful end. Okay, so I'll take Ben playing the djembe here. That djembe sitting right there, it doesn't have a lot going on. It's not like super attractive, but it's meant for a purpose. That djembe's teleos is to be played in a musical setting. That's its intended purpose. God's love is brought to its teleos. It is perfected when it is coming out of us to another. So let's go back to the PVC pipe, okay? Some of us in here, I think we get stuck on two ends of the PVC pipe. One, some of us in here just haven't received love from God. And perhaps it's because love for you got hijacked early on in your life. Like someone was supposed to love you and they didn't. And so you just said, man, forget this. I'm obviously unlovable. I'm obviously a piece of trash. And so I'm done with the love stuff. And so when you wrote off whoever that was, you also wrote off God. You said, I'm not good enough to be loved by God, or I hate God and he can't love me. I won't allow it. And so on this side of the PVC pipe, you put a cork and you said, no love will enter here. And tonight, would you just hear, man, that like God doesn't make trash. That he actually formed you from before time began. In his mind, he had a thought of you, and he brought you into existence because he delights in you. Like the sovereign God of the universe has you on his mind, and he smiles about it. Like he's a father who's giddy about his kiddos. Would you receive that love? Would you hear that, hey, there is a problem, there was a problem, and God loves you so much that he wanted to deal with that problem at great cost to himself. And so he sent Jesus to say, hey, I love you. And I'm going to take every broken thing, and I'm going to put it on my son. We're going to bury that in the ground, and then he's going to raise from the dead, proving that he's the Son of God, able to deal with our sins. And if you're corked on that side tonight, I'm praying that the Holy Spirit of God just pops that open, that you experience the love of God tonight. Perhaps that might not come in a moment in a worship gathering. Here's actually what I think might be a riskier step for you. Would you actually invite someone in here tonight into your life to begin to walk with you, like Allison and Janine, to say, hey, I'm going to walk you back into love? That maybe experiencing the love of God isn't going to be a quick fix. It's going to be a slow walk to the cross. Maybe that's you tonight, and that's a walk you need to begin tonight. And we'll talk about some next steps after this. But I think maybe there's some of us that have a cork on the other side. That we just sit in all the worship services. We do all the Bible studies. And we go to all the worship nights and all the prayer nights, but there's no meaningful action in our love. That we're not initiating, and it's not costing us anything to move towards other people. And John would say that's a problem. That's a big problem. that God's love is not perfected until it is bore out through your life. Until it starts coming out of you, then God's love isn't reaching what it was made to reach. It's made to flow through us into the lives of others. And so, Allison, when you think about some of the ways that have helped you kind of be a more effective PVC pipe, what a title. What are some things that have helped you say, hey, God, I want you to be the source of love, and I want others to just experience that love through me? What have been some habits or practices that have helped you in that?
Yeah, so I went on this thing called the World Race, and one of the things that we do is we only stay in a country for a small amount of time, and then you move on. So you build this really awesome community, you love these awesome people, and then you move, and then you move again, and then you move again, and each time it's just like your heart is just being ripped open. And I remember at one point, probably like month three or four, I was like, all right, God, that's it. I'm only going to give them about 75%. The rest of it will be mine. I got to protect my heart because this hurts. Like, why am I weeping so hard over these people that I can't even pronounce their name, you know? And I had the squad leader come to me, and she was like, how selfish and how, like, man, like, you don't get to love like God loves when you do that. She was like, you know, God gave everything for you. Why would you not give everything for everyone else? And oof, that hurt. She was like, even if you're giving 99.99%, you're not giving the love that comes from God. You're giving the love that comes from yourself that's going to burn you out and exhaust you. And so after that, I just took it and I was like, okay, Lord, like, oof, my heart, I want it to be broken for you. You break every single day over the people that do not know you. And I have a chance to walk in that and to love people to where it costs so much and where it hurts my heart so much. And it turns out I keep moving place to place and I meet people and it's awesome. And then I move again and then my heart breaks all over again. But man, it is so worth it. And so just being reminded that it's going to hurt. That's what's promised. Suffering is promised. But thankfully in eternity, we're going to have so much joy. It's not going to matter. And so I think, yeah, just being reminded that, like, don't just do the 99.99%. That doesn't make you a super Christian. It doesn't make you a super lover. It makes you selfish. And so just being willing to be like, yeah, I surrender my heart, man. You gave your own son for this. I'll at least give my life for this. So, yeah.
Yeah, thanks so much. I've found for me, the people that love the biggest are people who spend the most time knowing that they're loved. You know, I think my kiddos, like, they love to love people. I mean, they hug each other a bunch. They hug Troop and Eliza a bunch. And I wonder if part of that is we spend a lot of time saying, I love you. 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 How much time do you spend letting the Father tell you that he loves you? Is that like a quick thing in the morning? Like, oh, hey, God, thanks. All right, I'll go have a good day at school. And then, like, I hope I don't disappoint you. Like, I hope I don't miss something today. Like, I hope I don't mess up your will for my life and ruin everything today. I wonder what it would look like for you to start the day, just like we talked about last week, of, hey, I'm going to spend the day with God. Good morning, Lord. Let's walk together. But actually then to pause there and allow God to just say, hey, I love you. For me, that looks like a morning routine before anyone else gets up in my household. Before anyone has a chance to maybe tell me that they don't love me in a variety of ways. Not my family, but social media or an email or a text message that says I've done something wrong. Before the world has a chance to put a name tag on me, I want God to have the first chance. So in the morning, I get up, and I get out Evernote, because I have terrible handwriting, and I just begin to talk to God. And I say, God, thank you so much that you love me today. In a sense that it's brand new. Like, for the first time today, like, God is declaring over again, hey, Chris, you're my kid. Isn't that awesome? Like, isn't that amazing that I love you today? I know you were a butthead yesterday, but today I love you. And I loved you yesterday. And I want to spend time letting God tell me that he loves me. Because that's the only way I know to then show up to the life that God's called me to live and say, okay, God, let's go love some folks. And I'm going to watch how you do that through me. I think these two things are attached. Because John is going to say they're attached. That anyone who does not love does not know God. And then we fast forward, verse 11. But, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Hey, if you want to love big, that's going to happen when you know how big you're loved. And so that's why week after week after week after week after week, we gather together as a church to declare how great and how wonderful our God is, that he would send Jesus to die for our sins, that we might be loved by God. In hope that as we do that, and as we prayerfully spend time privately with God, hearing him say, I love you, that would move us out to the world, that God's love might be perfected in us and through us. That when people meet James and Shannon Ramsey, they would go, today I think I met God. That when someone meets Peyton, they would say, hey, today I think I met God. Because God's love is so freely and fully flowing through us that they're experiencing God's love. He's the source of love. He is love. He's the image of love. He's the initiator of love. And he's the one whose love costs him everything. What's it going to look like this week for us to love like God? I think it's going to begin with us letting God love us. And so I'm going to invite the team back up, and we're going to enter into a time of response here. And so I want to be really clear that if you're here tonight, man, and you're just like, I need to know that God loves me, and maybe you need some help. Like, you need someone to just pray that over you. We're going to have some folks in the back that would just love to pray for you. Shannon's going to be one of those people, and Aaron Dranoff's going to be one of those people. And so if you just need someone to pray, hey, that God loves you, man, we'd love for you to just go and pray with someone this evening. But then if you're like me, you know God loves you, but there's some areas where your love needs to be sharpened, that it hasn't been costing you much or it hasn't been initiating. Would you just be honest about where that's at tonight before God? And say, hey, God, I want to love like you. And maybe that looks like confessing to him and saying, hey, God, I'm sorry that I haven't been loving like you've loved me. Tonight, once again, I want to get back on track with you, God. I want to love like you love. And so, God, would you help me? Part of how we practice reminding ourselves that we're loved here at the Well is we take communion every week, where we want to remember and celebrate God's love for us, that Jesus' body was broken for us and his blood was spilt for us. So if you're here tonight and you're a believer in Jesus, we would invite you in this time to respond to God in worshiping in that way, to just going back there and taking a little Ritz cracker and a cup of grape juice to remember what God did to display his love to you, that he was the payment plan for our sins. And as we worship this evening, would you just enjoy the love of the Father? Gracious God, we thank you so much for who you are. God, thank you so much for Allison. I thank you for the story that you've written with her life and that you're writing with her life. God, I thank you for people like Janine Dooley who step into hard places and say, hey, I want to show you the love that I've received from God. Father, I pray for future Allisons in this city. God, I pray for the students at Texas State. I pray for moms and dads. I pray for single moms, for disillusioned men in this city that say, I don't know what love is. God, would you introduce us to them this week? God, would you allow us to be a church that slowly and graciously walks people back to what love really is? Walk them back to you. And God, tonight, would that begin with us as your children just hearing loudly once again how much you love us, that it costs you everything. So God, we worship you. We thank you. God, would you move in us and lead us to respond to you in obedience tonight? In Jesus' name.